Nung simula natin tong series na ito last February, I really did not intend to go beyond that month. Itong love for sufferers, but as it turned out, naging maganda at mapanghamon yung ating mga discussion. And so it's extended hanggang ngayon, pero ito na talaga yung last dahil nagsasuffer na ako sa preparation ito. Mahirap talaga. But it has been a very challenging series for me and I hope to you as well. So, tinignan natin, kaya tayo nagsimula nung February, it was love month. Pero ang punto natin, yung talagang challenge ng love, hindi yung if you find a person na you are loving to be very lovely, but the real challenge is when yung ilalove natin ay yung mahirap ilove or for other reasons, may mga dahilan para we turn away from them. Pero that's the real challenge of love. And this has to do with sufferers. And the form of love that we give to sufferers is yung salitang compassion. And compassion, yung pinakasalita niyan, come with passion is suffering, is to suffer with. So compassion in its very root is to empathize, to enter into. Pumasok tayo sa suffering ng isa pa. Kaya iba-ibang uri ng suffering, yung pinag-aralan natin sa series na ito, from lepers to children to oppressed women, hanggang sa dito makakarating tayo sa pinakahuli, and that is to nurse or to help those who are infirm. That is yung mga naghihirap, particularly yung may sakit. And physical infirmity is a universal human experience. Yan mang physical infirmity na yan ay in terms of agedness, yung katandaan o karamdaman, lahat ng tao ay dumaranas ng physical infirmity at ito ang mga panahon na hahamunin tayo sa uri ng pagmamahal na may kinalaman sa mga may kahinaan, karamdaman, and this will take the form of caring and treatment. Now, kung babalik tayo sa mga panahon na hindi ganoon ang tutok sa siyensya ng paggagamot, ay maraming mga kamalian. Alam nyo, for more than 1,000 years, sinunod nila yung theory ng tungkol sa 4 fluids ng katawan ng tao na dapat pagbalansehin. At kapag may sakit ang tao, siguro nasasobra yung ganitong substance. Ang malimit na uri ng paggagamot ay bleeding. Pinadudugo yung tao para tanggalin yung substance na inaakala nilang dahilan ng imbalance nung katawan. Eh, kadalasan yung ganyang uri ng paggagamot ay nakakalala. But those are pre-scientific days. We are now, nasa panahon na tayo na grabe ang siyensya ng medisina. But tandaan natin na hindi agad-agad yan. Dumating yan sa mga punto ng highs and by leaps and bounds, as they say, para dumating tayo sa siyensya ng medisina. At pagdating dyan, isa sa mga madaling nag-suffer o madaling matagal na nabigyan ng pansin ay itong trabaho ng mga tumutulong sa mga may sakit. And idagdag mo pa rin yung maraming superstitions. Bakit nagkakasakit? At kadalasan dinurugtong sa parusa ng Diyos. Yan ang mga pangyayari noon before the scientific days. Now, ang Kristiyano dapat ay may mahalagang pananaw patungkol sa karamdaman for the simple reason that the Christian view looks at man as body and soul. So, hindi lang soul ang tao. Nakita natin na man is body and soul, and therefore, in the Christian view, mataas ang paggalang niya sa katawan ng tao. Hindi tayo naniniwala una dun sa tinatawag na Gnosticism. Yung Gnosticism, ang tingin niya sa katawan ay masama. So the body is evil. At nauwi ito sa asceticism. Yung asceticism ay para maging banal ka, deprive your body. Kung ang tingin nila sa body, yan yung mga desires, yung mga masasama. Kaya para maging banal ka, yung kaluluwa mo ay mapalapit sa Diyos, ay parusahan mo yung katawan. Gutumin, saktan at iba't iba pang paraan na ginagawa ng marami. Nakikita natin yung pagmahal na araw, tayo yung pinakabantog na bansa yata pagdating sa flagellation o yung penitensya, nakakalungkot. At hindi yan galing sa Kristiyanong paniniwala. Tandaan natin yan, yung pagpaparusa, pananakit ng katawan, hindi yan galing sa Kristiyanong paniniwala. Ang Kristiyanong paniniwala, may mataas na tingin sa katawan. Kaya nga, ang isang kasunod niyan ay merong ginagawa ang Kristiyano para pagalingin ang katawan kung may karamdaman. Kaya't hindi ka takataka sa kasaysayan, and even non-Christian historians will bear this out, that hospitals began to flourish. In fact, they were introduced by Christians and they flourished through Christian ministry. Noong mga panaunang panahon ay walang mga institutionalized treatment of the sick until Christians introduced them in the 3rd century. At patuloy yan, mga Kristiyano ang nagtaguyod ng mga ospital, mga clinics, and this is because of the Christian view of a noble respect for the body. Kaya yan ang tandaan natin, mataas ang tingin natin sa pangangatawan. We reject Gnosticism, we reject asceticism. History shows na pagdating sa pagpapagaling ng may sakit, ang mga Kristiyano ang nanguna sa kasaysayan. So tutukan natin ngayon ang kahuli-huliang storya natin, and it will only be focusing on one, a woman who is really honored and she's deserving of that honor, yet not many realize that Florence Nightingale, who is considered as the origin of the vocation of nursing, not many realize that she was a Christian. And what moved her sa kanyang nursing vocation and career ay yung kanyang Christian faith. So gusto ko lang panariwain yan, i-refresh sa ating ang katotohanan na yan. Now, we need to observe, and I need to say this, in our day, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, pero in our day, hindi maitatanggi na the nursing profession has become a stepping stone to many. I'm sure not to all, but to many, it has become a stepping stone to going abroad. Malaking percentage ng mga nurses natin ay pumupunta abroad, at may mga kilala pa akong doktor na nag-nurse pa para lang maka-abroad. So yan malungkot na nangyayari sa nursing profession. I'm sure we have noble nurses still, but this is a fact of life in our country. It has become a mere ladder for promotion to many. Yet, para sa atin, caring for the infirm, yung pangangalaga sa mga may karamdaman, mga nanghihina, ay gawa ng compassion. It is an act of compassion which requires knowledge and self-denial. And no one personified this more than Florence Nightingale. So tingnan natin yung buhay nitong si Florence Nightingale, born on May 12, 1820 in Florence, Italy. So she was named after the place of her birth, sa Florence, Italy. In fact, may kapatid siya na pinangalan naman sa iba pang syudad na doon ipinanganak. But her parents were English people, mga taga-England. Pero nandun sila sa Italy at the time of her birth, so she was called Florence. In 1825, her father inherited a place known as Lea Hurst. Kaya't may kaya sila sa buhay. Mayaman sila, and they moved to a place in the United Kingdom known as Derbyshire. Derbyshire ang pronounce dyan, but makikinig ka sa British, Derbyshire. So, we can say that she was born to a wealthy family. And as a young person, Florence Nightingale had a very good education. In fact, broad for women of her day. And this was what opened her eyes dun sa oppression din ng women. Nakita niya na hindi maraming kababaihan ang nag-aaral. In fact, kahit kayang pag-aralin, hindi pinag-aaral yung mga kababaihan noon. At nakita niya ito, at may mga writers kayong mababasa na kiniklaim nila na Florence Nightingale was an early feminist. And I would have to disagree. She was not a feminist in the sense of feminism today, but she was a fighter for women. kumbaga nakita niya yung kaapihan sa mga babae at isa sa mga pinaglaban niya ay yung mga kababaihan. In fact, may sinabi siya rin sa inyong handout, women never have a half hour in all their lives, excepting before or after anybody is up in the house, that they can call their own without fear of offending or of hurting someone. Why do people sit up so late or more rarely get up so early? Not because the day is not long enough, but because they have no time in the day to themselves. So yun ang sabi niya sa mga babae. Ang mga babae lagi lang ginagamit para sa bahay, para sa pamilya, walang para sa kanilang sarili. Nakita niya ito na parang women have no career of their own, and this was one of the reasons na nag-isip siya ng isang vocation na more associated with women than with men. So it was during this time that she became very interested in looking after the sick. So dito siya nagsimulang makita niya, mag-iinteresado siya sa mga may karamdaman. She visited hospitals in London and around the country. At this point, by the way, nursing was not yet a profession. Kumbaga, ang mga tumutulong sa mga ospital noon ay parang katulong sa bahay na hindi tinuturing na profession, kundi tutulong sa mga manggagamot. But nursing was not something you studied. There was no institution of nursing, no training schools for nurses. So ganito yung mga nurse noon. One major influence on Florence were her visits on two institutions. One was a Catholic institution, St. Vincent de Paul, na isang convent ng mga madre sa Alexandria, Egypt. And then, a Protestant institution, an institute of Protestant deaconesses at Kaiserswerth. Now, so nagkaroon siya ng maraming kaalaman sa sarili niyang pagsisikap. Again, walang training institution, sarili niyang pagsisikap, sarili niyang karanasan, at ito yung kanyang itinaguyod sa kanyang sarili. And her skills, her knowledge were recognized. So in 1853, she was appointed as superintendent of the Hospital for Invalid Gentlewomen. Yun ang pangalan. For Invalid Gentlewomen. So, at this early stage of her life, doon na tumutumbok yung kanyang career, although walang profession na matatawag, but her knowledge was recognized. Now, by the way, one thing about Florence Nightingale as a superior, because she demanded so much of herself, she demanded so much of her subordinates. And this was something that we can say was both virtuous as well as a bad character on her part. She was very demanding. In fact, at one point, she demanded so much of one of her subordinates, it caused his early death. Pero ganun siya ka-demanding as boss, siguro. But you see her character. Now, a turning point in her life was the Crimean War. Actually, it exploded in 1853. This was sa pagitan ng Russia and Turkey. But because the nation of Britain as well as France were suspicious of Russian intentions, so in 1854, they allied with Turkey. Yung Turkey noon ay isa siyang Ottoman Empire. Malaking empire siya, pero Islamic. So, eto ngayon yung Crimean War. The reason why it's called Crimean War ay most of the conflicts occurred in a peninsula known as Crimea. So, kumalat yung balita na maraming sundalong British ang namamatay. Hindi naaalagaan ng mahusay. And so, at this point, Florence Nightingale volunteered her services to serve the British soldiers in the Crimean War. And so in 1854, she set out together with 38 other nurses. Ay pumunta siya October 21 doon sa Crimea. At doon niya nakita ang masamang kalagayan. At may sinabi siya rin on your handout. Sinabi niya, there were no vessels for water or utensils of any kind. no soap, towels, or clothes. So no hospital clothes. The men lying in their uniforms, stiff with gore and covered with filth to a degree and of a kind no one could write about. Their persons covered with vermin. We have not seen a drop of milk, and the bread is extremely sour. The butter is most filthy. It is Irish butter in a state of decomposition, and the meat is more like moist leather than food. Potatoes, we are waiting for until they arrive from France. So itong kanyang sariling description nung Barracks Hospital doon sa Crimean War. And so what Florence Nightingale did was she documented yung mga na-encounter niyang condition, yung mga remedy na kanyang ginawa, at yung mga documentation na yan will become the raw materials of later on a textbook that she would write about nursing. So what she did was establish hygiene and sanitation. And yung simple system na yon, the effect was remarkable. From 47% fatality, ibig sabihin yung mga dinadala sa hospital, halos kalahati sa kanila namamatay, by simply establishing hygiene and sanitation, from 47%, it became 3%. So can you imagine just hygiene and sanitation ang kanyang in-establish ay ganun ka-radical yung effect. Dito rin, yung mga kasama niyang nurses ay may mga kalokohan. So pinagbawal niya itong mga nurses na pumunta sa hospital ng gabi. Siya lang ang nagra-round every night in the hospital. And syempre, walang kuryente noon. And she would carry a lamp. And this was what she came to be known as, Lady with a Lamp. Nagra-round siya sa mga wounded soldiers. She would tend to them. And this was what she came to be known for, the Lady of the Lamp. She comforted, she consoled. In fact, she wrote letters for many. She ministered to many who eventually died. At isa sa mga ginagawa niya ay susulatan niya yung magulang, particularly yung nanay, nung namatay. At sasabihin niya yung condition ng kanilang anak until he died. And she would often say that your son died a hero, your son died holding my hand. And it's ang nakita rito ni Florence Nightingale ay yung key role of sympathy. Sympathy with those who suffer, sympathy with those who are bereaved. And this ministry of writing letters became one of the ministries of Nightingale. May sinabi siya rito na dito niya nakita yung halaga ng vocation of nursing. Apart from the medical profession, may sariling career dapat yung nursing profession. May reklamo siya rito, sinabi niya, no man, not even a doctor, even gives any other definition of what a nurse should be than this, devoted and obedient. This definition would do just as well for a porter. It might even do for a horse. It would not do for a policeman. So, ang reklamo niya ay, basta obedient ka, pwede ka ng nurse. At nilabanan niya yan. She realized the need for knowledge. A nurse should have knowledge. A nurse should know how to care. Caring for the infirm is not a matter of instinct. Kinakailangan may intelligence, may kaalaman, at merong sympathy. At dito nga niya nakita, among other things, the need for caring, for sanitation, for hygiene. It may seem strange, she said, as a principle to enunciate, as the very first requirement in a hospital, that it should do the sick no harm. Hippocratic oath. And the Hippocratic Oath says, first of all, to do no harm. At ina-apply lang niya yan sa hospital by way of hygiene and sanitation. And yet, she also learned from the many sufferings na naranasan niya, including dun sa ministry to those who were dying. She said this, I stand at the altar of the murdered men, and while I live, I fight their cause. So, Her influence became established as a result of her career in the Crimean War, when she returned to England after the Crimean War. She was a national heroine. So, kinilala na siya, iginagalang siya, pinarangalan. She refused any tangible honor except one award that she used to build an institution for nursing. So, we can say that it was Florence Nightingale who established the nursing profession as an honorable vocation. She dedicated the remaining 50 years of her life to promote hospital reform, both in administration and in nursing. In fact, she wrote a lot. By the way, what many forget is that she also wrote a lot of biblical annotations. Ang kinikilala lang ngayon yung kanyang mga nurse, mga writings about nursing. She wrote a book that later became a textbook for nurses and was printed with many editions. But let's not forget that she also wrote a lot on biblical annotations. She founded in St. Thomas Hospital the first school of nursing in the whole world. So it's in London. She died August 30, 1910 in London at age 90. And one of her requests in her last will was that when she is buried, only her initials should appear on the epitaph. No honor of any kind, just her initials. So today, the Nightingale Pledge is administered to new nurses, and the International Nurses Day is celebrated around the world on her birthday, that's May 12. Now let me just read what she said concerning nursing. Nasa lowest quotation sa inyong handout. The natural motive is the love of nursing, which may entirely conquer, as I know by personal experience, a physical loathing and fainting at the sight of operations. The professional motive is the desire and perpetual effort to do the thing as well as it can be done, which exists just as much in the nurse as in the astronomer in search of a new star or in the artist completing a picture. But I do entirely and constantly believe that the religious motive is essential for the highest kind of nurse. There are many disappointments, such sickenings of the heart that they can only be borne by the feeling that one is called to the work by God, that it is a part of his work, that one is a fellow worker with God. Now, do you think this is a motive that is sustaining most nurses today? I doubt it. I'm sure, again, for many of them, it is there. But for many, it's just a career. And it was Florence Nightingale, the originator of the vocation of nursing, who emphasized na, yes, may natural motive, may professional motive, but she emphasized that the most important motive is the religious one. To look at nursing as a work which you do with God by caring for the infirm. On top of your quotations, ito naman ang sinabi niya when she was 30 years old. I am 30, the age at which Christ began his mission. Now, no more childish things, no more vain things, no more love, no more marriage. Now, Lord, let me only think of thy will. Nursing, professional nursing, must be lifted to the true position that God wishes it to be. If it takes all of my strength, I shall pay the price to put it there. What an admirable woman. And so she lived as she resolved, no marriage, single, all her 90 years of life. And saan niya natutuhan yung compassion na yan? Well, again, we go back to the Lord Jesus. None more compassionate to the infirm. Walang mas mahabagit sa mga may karamdaman at may kahinaan. In fact, he identified himself with the sick. Diba, sinabi niya, I was sick and you visited me, he said to his disciples. And to those who were not his disciples, I was sick and you did not visit me.
So he identified himself with the sick. And not only that, when he died on the cross, let us not forget, among other things, the Bible tells us he took upon himself our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Matthew 18:16. So it all comes back to the Lord Jesus. And I say na the woman like Florence Nightingale should be a challenge to us to be compassionate to those who are infirm. Caring for the sick can be sometimes self-denying. And yet that's what compassion does. So I say, in conclusion, in our series, compassion cares for those who are too weak to care for themselves. Any question? Any clarification?
Pastor, I'm curious, what was her religious affiliation? Nagkaroon siya ng so much passion for the sick.
I believe Episcopalian, or what you would call sa England, they would be called Anglicans. And among Anglicans at that time, there were evangelicals as well as non-evangelicals, and I believe that she would belong to the evangelical faith. Karamihan ng mga taga-England naman ay lalaki sila, ipapanganak sila at lalaki sa isang Anglican affiliation. So I believe that was what Florence Nightingale was. Are your thoughts? In what sort of situations do you think yung kagaya ni Florence Nightingale, we would be called to the situation of nursing the infirm, caring for the sick, and what compassion is demanded by that? Any thought? Jojo.
Guru, Pastor, yung talagang kailangan ng compassion. Kasi pag sakit na pinag-uusapan, isang tendency po natin dyan, yung takot kang mahawa dun sa mga sakit. Kaya minsan, yun ang nagiging hinder para alagaan o lapitan yung may sakit. Pero kung may compassion ka nga, lalo na yung galing sa Panginoon, magagawa mo yun.
Yeah, totoo yun. Yung kumisa iniiwasan at takot mahawa. And this is one of the developments kay Florence Nightingale by simply introducing and establishing a system of hygiene and sanitation in hospitals, ay napababa rin niya yung infection as well as pagkakahawa ng sakit. So simpleng-simple lang yun. Yet, marami pa rin sitwasyon kung saan yung kasimplihan ng hygiene and sanitation ay hindi pa rin napapairal sa mga hospital. Many, for example, in Africa, are still dying of diarrhea when very simple matter of washing your hands has reduced yung fatality from diarrhea in around the world. And yet many places in Africa, hindi pa rin alam yun. Other questions? Other thoughts? Caring for the sick or infirm? Tina?
Gusto ko lang pong i-share, Pastor, yung kasi po pag sa family, bawa po sa personally po sa mga anak ko, pag may sakit, talagang nandun po yung as a mother na to care for them, yung self-denial na kahit na hindi ka matulog pag may sakit sila, may maya tingnan mo kung may lagnat, punasan mo, bantayan mo yung likod. Yung lahat po yun, parang biyaya po ng Panginoon na madali mong ma-express sa mahal mo sa buhay, sa pamilya, sa magulang, sa kapatid. Pero yun pong i-extend mo yun sa ibang tao na meron pong biyaya po na galing sa Diyos. Talaga pong biyaya na po yun. And humahanga po ako dun sa mga tao na meron po silang biyayang gano'n na kaya po nilang magkaroon ng yung self-denial nga po na sinasabi ko na galing sa Panginoon.
Okay, thank you, Tina. And that's a good point na sa family, siyempre natural. Natural yung tayo ay mag-alaga na may sakit sa pamilya. It is parental and particularly motherly instinct.
hindi tayo matutulog para maalagaan. And it comes naturally because of the natural bond and affection. So imagine self-denying na yon, pero we would do it because of the natural love that exists. E paano yung hindi mo naman kaano-ano, stranger practically, and then dalhin sa hospital and you have to care for that person. And of course, yung nurses, they have more time to spend with the sick than even doctors. At dito mas maari natin sabihin mas may self-denial involved on the part of nurses than even doctors, because they really have to be there and sometimes micromanage yung pangangailangan ng mga may sakit. So tama yung sinasabi ni Florence Nightingale na kailangan yung religious motive, dahil kung wala iyon ay napakahirap pagdating sa mga bagay na yan. Any other thought? Kayo mga nurses, baka na ako sige, Tess.
Tradition ko dun sa sinabi ni Tina, masasabi ko na sa age natin ngayon, ang mga magulang natin ay mga nasa old age na po sila. So, yung at end charity, nagsisimula sa bahay. So, masasabi ko na yung ginagawa ng mga kapatid na kung hindi man makapag-alaga sa magulang, yung nag-aabot ng pambili ng gamot. Kasi karamihan sa mga age po ng mga parents natin ngayon, maintenance na yan eh. So may papakita natin yung love natin sa kanila, sa yun, helping out. Although nakita ko sa parents ko po, ay kailangan nila yung makikinig, yung may makikinig. Yung bang parang ang dami-dami nilang gustong sabihin. Tapos, pang for me, minsan siguro kailangan ko pa ng patience in yun, makikinig pa ho. So aside from financial help, yung hugging them, yung listening to them. So siguro sa ganun, magiging nurse na rin. Yeah. Kaya minsan, malimit akong magpaalam sa asawa ko at dalawin ko ang nanay ko. Ganun.
Yeah, that's a good point na serving our parents in their old age is a grace at isang katungkulan na dapat natin gawin. Kinikilala yan sa Biblia. At kayo mga nasa kabataan ngayon, isipin nyo yung panahong ginugol sa inyo ng inyong mga magulang, at ngayon nasa katandaan, pag inabot nyo sila sa kanilang katandaan, ay huwag natin kalimutan yung ibalik natin. And in fact, one of the worst things that can happen is when a child turns against his parents at their old age. Napakasama nung bagay na yon. And so you need to be there. Maring hindi ka palagi nakakadalaw, pero you try your best. O kung minsan magkikwento sila, mga pang 110 mo nang narinig yung kwento na yon. Pero sige lang, yung panahon ng hapon, yung panahon ng... but they need listening ears, so you give them that. Thing.
Yung pong challenge for moms or parents is how to teach the children how to be compassionate to other members of society, not within the family. Kasi sa pamilya, kagaya ng sabi ni Ate Tess, if your parents or your relatives or your children, madaling pakita to. Pero pag sa labas na ng pamilya, napakalaking challenge even sa akin, sa aming mga magulang na ipakita sa anak kung paano extend yung compassion sa ibang tao.
Yeah, totoo yun. Sometimes we don't realize we're training our children to be selfish. At na-orient ng ganun sa bahay. And sa mga magkakapatid, hirap na maging mag-share tao sa labas pa ng bahay. And it's natural for a child to be selfish. And we need to be aware of that. Kinakailangan nila ng training. Naalala ko nung galing akong London, nag-aral doon. So after a year, pagbalik ko, isang pinadala sa akin ng kaibigan ko roon ay one box ng matchbox cars. Diba, yung gustong-gusto ng mga bata, siguro mga 50 pieces ng cars yun. So binigay ko kay Jairi, bata pa siya noon. Sinabi kong mag-share siya, ako paiyakan pa. 50 cars din. Pakishare yung dalawa, tatlo. Paiyakan. So, ganun ang bata. Selfish. And if you don't train him to really be unselfish and share, eh, palalakiin siyang selfish. So, tama yun na we need to consciously train our children to be unselfish and to share. Any other thoughts? So, any other field na kung saan natin mararanasan itong the need to be compassionate to the infirm? So, aged parents, even children. What else? Where else? Saan pa ang challenge na to? Jenny.
Pastor, tungkol to sa yung pagiging prayer warrior for other people, especially yung may sakit, ano. Kasi parang iba ata yung pinagdadasal mo sila. Na-experience ko rin kasi to recently, no. May kakilala ako may sakit. Hindi pa ko pa siya nakikita kasi for a long time kasi nasa hospital siya. Pinagdadasal mo na siya. Para bang maski hindi kami close, parang nafe-feel mo na everyday nagdadasal ka sa kanya. And I tried, isa pa kasi isa pang kakilala ko na hindi kami close friend. Bali, dalawa sila. Then yung kapitbahay na naman, yung anak niya may sakit. Tatlo na sila. Actually, ngayon tatlo yung pinagdadasal ko. Hindi ko lang... Yung isa doon, hindi ko pa nga nakikita eh. Dahil naririnig ko lang na yung anak niya may sakit talaga. Yung bang joy na nafe-feel mo pagka nakita mo na, may improvement sa kanilang health.
Mm.
Yun, nang sa akin lang yung power ng prayer, ano... na nag-aano ka sa kanila.
Yeah.
Ano nga tawag doon? Yung prayer intervention ba yan? Ayun.
Mm.
So, kahit na malayo ka, you can do that also. No, so may, it's para sa akin, form of compassion yun eh. Kasi, malayo ka, pero very concerned ka at nagre-request ka sa Panginoon para sa kanila. Nakita ako kung paano nag-work yung Panginoon. No? Yung isa nga na-heal eh. So, cancer yun, no? Kaya nung narinig ko na cancer-free siya, talagang tuwan-tuwa ako sa kanya. Pero ano, hindi... Sinabi ko sa kanya through somebody na, hey, pinagdadasal kita. Pero hindi siya Christian eh. So, I think hindi niya naintindihan kung anong ibig sabihin nun. Pero sa akin, ang reward ay nakita ko na very powerful pala yung ganun, ano?
Yeah, in fact, sa James chapter 5, sinabi roon na, is anyone among you sick? And the first thing to do for the sick is pray. To pray for them. Yes, and I believe that prayer is an act of compassion. And in fact, this is one thing that Christian nurses have that non-Christian nurses don't have, that they really have a God to pray to na para doon sa patient nila. So besides doon sa kanyang nursing work talaga, nursing duties, andun pa yung she can pray for her patients. So that is an added act of compassion. And it is in that context, sinabi sa James chapter 5, na you pray for the sick. Doon sinabi yung the prayer of the righteous man avails much. So that's where we experience the power of prayer. Other thoughts? Jean.
Pastor, dun sa question nyo earlier na ano pa yung parang ibang areas na merong ganong ministry. Nakita ko yung sa social work. Ngayon, social work is even, it's a profession na up to the PhD, you can actually get a degree.
Mm.
Ang na-observe ko rin lang doon, yung it's just a profession. Hindi ko lang, I don't want to judge, but of course, ang difference nung naging very professionalized na yung social work, hindi mo masyadong makikitaan yung, really, of course, we cannot expect yung religious motive na katulad ng ginagawa dun sa Christian Compassion Ministry ng Cubao Reformed Baptist Church. So, parang may yung pagiging formal niya, parang nawawala na rin yung the human touch of social work.
Yeah, it's a good point to emphasize. Kagaya rin ni Florence Nightingale, ginawa niyang professional vocation ng nursing, pero hindi nawawala dapat yung religious motive. So ganun din sa social work. Yes, social work today is now a profession, meron ng degree para dyan. And sa katulad ng Christian Compassion Ministry ng Cubao, hindi ka pwedeng tawaging social worker unless you're licensed by the DSWD. So ang ginagawa nila, nagpapatrain sila, nagpapaaral sila ng social worker. Pero while the social workers get a professional license, sila yung nagtuturo ng religious motive na dapat mayroon ng social worker. So it's a good thing to balance. And Christians are the ones we expect to balance that most. Na yung professional skill as well as the religious motive for helping the infirm, whether physical or social. Any other thought? Jojo.
Yung ano lang, Pastor, yung totoo po yung kalimitan sa nag-graduate ng nursing ngayon, pupunta sa abroad. Totoo po yun. Kasi naman po, kung titingnan natin, 1,000 yung gumagraduate sa nursing eh. Pagkatapos gumagraduate, wala namang trabaho, hindi ma-accommodate po. Tapos dito po sa atin sa Pilipinas, kung titingnan natin yung mga nurses, nakakaawa po talaga yung kalalagayan. Dito na lang po sa UP, kakunti po yung nurse. Minsan, sobra-sobra na po sa oras yung kanilang pagtatrabaho. Talagang namamayat po talaga, tumatanda kaagad. At talagang nakakaawa yung mga nurses po, no? Doon ko nga na-appreciate na, kasi hindi ako ganun na eh. Yung pag-nurse, mahaba yung pasensya, ganyan, ano. Hindi po ako ganun. At pag nasa ospital nga ako, inaalagaan yung ano ko, panayang pasasalamat ko doon sa nurse kasi mas mahaba pa yung pasensya nila kasi sa akin kaysa doon sa anak ko, no? Pero ang, yun nga, nakakaawa din yung kalalagayan ng mga nurse kasi minsan underpaid po sila, exposed sa mga sakit, ganun. Tapos may mga batas nga tayo, hindi naman po na talagang na-implement para sa kanila. So, sabi ko nga po nung kasi nasa union ako, sabi ko, pag nanalo yung union, aming riripasuhin yung mga batas dito at talagang isusulong namin yung inyong benepisyo, sabi ko ganun. So sa akin lang po, Pastor, yung mga nurse talaga, talagang pasalamatan po talaga natin, talagang very noble yung trabaho nila, kahit minsan underpaid, talagang exposed sa mga sakit na ganyan. Talagang napakahirap po nung trabaho nila po talaga at talagang masasabi ko na parang daig pa yung magulang minsan kung mag-alaga doon sa mga anak natin sa ibang tao.
Okay, kailangan ng compassion ang mga nurse. We need to exercise compassion to the nurse. Pero totoo yung point dito sa Pilipinas ay underpaid ang mga nurses and because kulang, overworked. So overworked, underpaid, and sometimes you cannot blame yung fact na marami sa kanila ay ginagamit yung nursing as a ladder para sa going abroad. So we need to understand, but at the same time, ito naman ang punto ni Florence Nightingale na ilagay yung nursing doon sa point na it's an act of commitment, an act of working with God for the infirm. And the last thoughts, Ningning.
Pastor, isa pong magandang maalala natin sa pagki-care sa mga infirm, kung nurse man tayo o mga anak na nagki-care sa mga magulang natin, yung urgency na i-share yung gospel. Kasi kung may mga sakit na nga sila, syempre nararamdaman natin, tapos mga tumatanda, nararamdaman natin na baka malapit na silang kunin ng Panginoon. So kung hindi pa sila Kristiyano, dapat mas magmadali na sharean sila ng gospel.
Yeah, that's a very vital point. And again, yung Kristiyano dapat ang makakita nito. Yes, the person needs physical caring, social caring, etc. But the Christian should be able to see the spiritual need of this person more than anything else. Kaya yung pag-share ng gospel ay wag nating kalimutan para sa Kristiyanos. Of course, we must share it wisely at wisely and effectively. So pag nag-minister ka sa may sakit, huwag mo umpisaan sa handa ka na bang mamatay. may ganung tinuro sa akin kasi nung Bible bap ako, ganung ng approach lang. So maging relevant tayo at maging sensitive sa pag-share natin. But yes, it is the Christian yung dapat na nakakakita na ang pinakakailangan ng isang tao ay ang ebanghelyo. Any added thoughts, last thoughts? Sino?
Akala ko, Pastor, Rory. Last point na yung kay...
Sige, nurse.
Hindi, Pastor, one thing na talagang obviously na nangyayari doon sa compassion ng mga medical or non-medical is yung minsan na-overlook yung praying for the one who is sick. At tama po yung sinabi ni Ningning na talagang dapat, yun na yung talagang timely para i-share yung gospel. The thing is, na-overlook yon dahil hindi naman lahat Christians. But then even Christians failed to do so because of some fear. Now sa amin sa Qatar ay what is more na ginagawa doon ay yung kahit hindi kilala ang term ng pastor doon ay ibinababad sa prayer. And then it in time yun ay nagkakaroon ng positive result na gumagaling kahit na nasa Qatar and then nasa Pilipinas yung mga mahal sa buhay na ipinagpe-pray. So it's a good lesson for me na yon ay talagang prayer really avails much from the righteousness of man. And then also, doon sa kahit na hindi, whether professional or non-professional, yung tinatawag ko na social responsibility when time arises, na kung wala sa puso yung talagang pagtulong, hindi rin kikilos kahit may alam. So it comes from the heart yung dealing with sick person or infirmity, whether at home or outside the family.
Yeah, and that brings us back to compassion. Compassion is suffering with, entering into the suffering of the person. At magagawa lang natin yon by the heart. Hindi naman tayo talaga magkakasakit kagaya niya. Pero how do we enter into his suffering? Is by the heart of compassion. Kaya yun ang huwag nating kalimutan. And sana maging sensitive tayo. We may not realize it, but there are infirm people around us na you and I can reach, and we just need more sensitivity and more compassion, and no better model for us of this than the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa larawan ng kahabagan na ipinamalas ni Florence Nightingale. At sana'y maging hamon ng kanyang buhay sa amin. We may not be in the medical field or in the professional practice of nursing, but we do have people around us or related to us who are infirm, who are in need of our compassion. It may be aged parents, it may be sick children, it may be friends or people who need prayers, who need our sharing of the gospel. Nawa bilang mga Kristiyano, kami ang lalong magkaroon ng ganitong sensitibong damdamin para sa kanilang pangangailangan at kakitaan nawa kami ng katulad ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. He himself identified with the sick, and help us, Lord, to be sensitive to those who are infirm around us, that we may truly demonstrate the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us, and may this series be a real challenge to every opportunity of compassion out there, that we may be compassionate men and women like our Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray all these things. Amen.